Show presents.
Supposedly, he was born in a mental institution and he sleeps only 1 hour a night.
Ed Hawken.
You're crazy.
Let's rock.
I haven't got time for this Mickey Mouse bullshit!
The Ed Hawken Show.
This is The Ed Hawken Show, episode 24. Yes, it's I, Ed Hawken, coming back. I can tell you it's already been a crazy year so far. Revolution in the Middle East, Charlie Sheen losing it, now nuclear meltdown, and now going back to revolution in the Middle East. But we have ourselves a treat today. This is certainly a first for me. We have ourselves a new guest. Randall will be showing up at another time. But I can say this is something really going to be looking forward to. And joining me today is someone I know from the AV Club commenters, from their really ass-backwards, broken-ass message board system on the at The Onion. And joining me is the man known as Monty Park, the internet bon vivant of Pasadena, better known as his actual name, Sam Huddy. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing well. Mm.
So you had a good time getting over here and everything to the hellhole that is my apartment?
Yeah, it was really busy. The train, there was this protest. They're protesting the wars, which is weird because I think the war in Iraq has been over for 7 months.
It's still going on, technically. They haven't really shut it down. I mean, there's still troops out there out in the field, I think.
Yeah.
So, but that I can remember. It was 2003 as the war just started, and I was going to an industrial club in Hollywood, and I remember the night that I was walking through this protest. It was the night that Saddam was captured in that spider hole.
That's
so
right.
I remember that very well. But I'm sure the viewers would be like to know who the hell are you and where are you from?
I'm Sam Huddy. I'm an aspiring screenwriter from Pasadena. I lived in San Francisco for 2 years. In high school, I had a video series where I was known only as Monty Park, and it became something of a phenomenon in that sort of circle.
Like the chocolate rain of your circle?
Yeah, but it had more of a lasting influence.
Were you better than Dax Flame?
I don't know. I've never seen Dax Flame.
Well, you're better off for not knowing. What about Sex Man? Again.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah.
No, that was an SNL sketch. Never mind.
Mm. Oh, yeah, so you're talking about the two stoners with their webcam series and one guy wouldn't shut up about talking about weed or...
No, I was thinking of Kenan Thompson humping a chair.
Oh, okay then. So, yeah, so you're from Pasadena, which is about, if for those of you that don't know, it's about 20, 25 miles away from here, east. It's a smaller city, it's an older city, and you're basically, as I like to say, you own that side of the state. This is my part of town. So clearly you don't fuck with me. But more importantly, so that's where you grew up and everything? That's where you went to school?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Pasadena, and my father was born and raised in Pasadena, and his father was born and raised in Pasadena.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And you were in San Francisco for what reason?
I went to SF State because I wanted to take film school. And I also met my first girlfriend at the open house, and she broke up with me, and the film department absolutely hated me. And all the people up there were a bunch of raver assholes. And the city was nice, but it was far away. We were on the edge of town, and I ran out of money, and this girl I liked found a boyfriend, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm not staying here.
You know, that's the exact same thing that happened to our own president of the United States over at Occidental, 30 years ago. But anyway.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, no, the exact same thing. Now, you had said you had gone up to San Francisco State, which I believe is in, the southeast corner of the city, right on
southwest.
The border. Southwest.
It's near the beach.
Well, yeah, it's a peninsula. There's beach everywhere, but...
No, the beach is only on the ocean side. The bay side is all harbor.
Oh, no kidding. So, yeah, what made you decide to go there for film school as opposed to any other Cal State?
I got in there.
Mm-hmm.
And my counselor suggested it to me.
No kidding.
In her Oxfordshire accent that suggested she was about to die. Have you tried San Francisco State? And that appealed to me for some reason, the idea of living in another city. And that's the only place I really got in.
Oh, really? You
didn't,
did you apply to any other Cal States?
I applied to Northridge, and I applied
my
to
alma
Long
mater.
Beach.
You didn't get into Northridge?
No, I didn't get into Northridge.
Get the fuck out of here. Wow. The stuff you learn every day. I went to Northridge, and my degree sits on the wall over here, where former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger signed it, and I'm personally proud of the fact that Arnold Schwarzenegger had signed it. So
Dick Cheney signed my Eagle Scout thing.
That's right. Now, you are an Eagle Scout. For those of you that don't know, that's the top level of
the
Boy Scouts.
Rank.
Did you wear a neckerchief?
You kind of had to.
What, were you a Weeblo?
I was all the way back to Bear in 1998.
Wait, what the hell is a bear other than for those of you in the audience that obviously know what that is?
Okay, this is getting really, really too much. But before you're a Boy Scout, a lot of people are Cub Scouts in elementary school.
Uh-huh.
And the bear, I just like jumped into like the fourth rank in the third grade.
Okay. And how does that differ from a Weeblo?
Well, Weeblo is the highest rank of the Cub Scouts.
Did you have a yearly subscription to Boy's Life?
It came with the membership.
I remember reading that in grade school, and the only thing I remember in that magazine was they had this comic strip that dealt with like these traumas and emergencies for like various scouts. They still had that? I wonder if it ever changed.
I don't know. I stopped getting it.
Okay. You didn't?
Well, like, even when I was going.
Did you do any soapbox derby races?
We don't have soapbox. We had pinewood derbies.
That's it. Yeah, the little cars.
Yeah. I won.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Did you take any cues from that Simpsons episode involving soapbox derby?
No, but I still have the cars.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Did you, any paint in them and everything?
Or? Yeah, one of them is like a blue, like, Mercedes from like the 20s.
Wow. And how does that work? Do you whittle that, or do you?
You just basically, like, shape it, and it has to be a certain weight, so you add, like, metal bits on the bottom.
So you use the lathe at age 12 to build this thing, and, huh, interesting. So
actually, I was 9.
Wow, that really is something. Yes, that really is. But yeah, as I said, I knew you from. Now, let me ask you this: where did exactly the name Monty Park come from, and how does it, you know, why did you decide to come up with that?
I'm not sure. When I went to an all boys Catholic school,
mm-hmm.
which was sort of a whole other world from regular high schools, and I wanted to make these movies, but the film department there hated me. They were all students who were upper class, and they wouldn't let me use their stuff. And this name, Monty Park, just occurred to me, and I decided to make this mockumentary about Monty Park, who's a high schooler who makes his own TV show.
Okay.
And this was sort of in the the beginning of YouTube.
All the way back in 2006.
Yeah. So I wrote this script, and I never made it. And eventually I decided that I should play Monty Park. And I got a YouTube account, and I started making these videos. And they weren't really popular until senior year,
mm-hmm.
when Cathedral High School beat our football like 35-0 in our homecoming game.
Okay.
And I did this whole thing about how the Cathedral Fairies, I hate you, and it was this huge success. Catholic schoolgirls to this day throw themselves at me whenever I'm in their path.
Is it anything like the very world-famous Catholic high school Girls in Trouble? Is it anything
no.
like that?
Well,
so there's no midget whipping them or anything like that? Or?
Well, it depends on the school.
Okay, so that someone has gotten hit in the pie, no, hit in the buttocks with a pie. Did that go on?
I never saw it, but it doesn't mean it didn't
happen.
You
never saw a Kentucky Fried Movie?
I never saw a Kentucky Fried Movie.
Oh my God.
But I never
God.
Saw that happen in real life, but I can't say that it didn't happen. It depends on, every school was its own clique. Like, we were the nerds, and Cantwell was the douchebags, Bishop Amott was the sluts.
So,
I probably shouldn't go into too much detail.
Right, I understand that, but so you're saying that this school you went to was comprised solely of nerds. Now, wasn't there still a hierarchy? Kind of like, I mean, or was it basically like Revenge of the Nerds, where everyone somehow was united?
Yeah, it was like Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh my God.
But, I mean, there were people who were good at sports,
mm-hmm.
and there were people who were assholes, but the great thing
Nerd
about
assholes.
Catholic school, the great thing about Catholic school is that if you don't behave or you don't get good grades, they
you
will
get
just
beaten
get,
by a nun?
No, we didn't have any nuns. They'll just kick you out.
Interesting.
They'll just get rid of you.
That's true. That's the thing about public school. That's one of the reasons why I know in my time I envision I'll have multiple careers that I thought about teaching. Now, the thing is that I'm always, and that's the one thing about college teaching as opposed to, say, your regular public school education,
right.
is that in college, people are paying to be there. So I'm like, well, if for anyone who doesn't want to be if I taught, like, high school, you'd be like, well, if you don't want to be here, there's the door. You could leave, and I don't care what you do.
They used to say that all the time, and we had one guy, God rest his soul, they're renaming the gym after him in about a month.
Right.
He was in Vietnam, and he came in there. He would sub a class, Coach Yurak, and he would say, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to sit quietly and listen to the Righteous Brothers. and you're gonna like it. You're not gonna complain about it. You're gonna do whatever you want to do, so long as you do it quietly, and we're just gonna sit and listen to the Righteous Brothers. And everybody was terrified of him, but we loved him.
And would he literally just stand next to the radio after he turned it on and kept an eye on everybody, or would he go behind the desk and read the newspaper?
He put it on, and the desk would be right there, so it wasn't a problem.
Did he have like a square, like a high and tight haircut?
Yeah.
Oh wow! So he kind of.
In fact, there's a Facebook page that's dedicated to him.
My God. Well, I can't look at it right now. Right. I got to keep an eye on the counter here. But that is something. Like I said, none of that stuff ever won in public. I went to two high schools, and that was because I had to move in between sophomore and junior year. And again, none of that went on. Now I was always, and it's interesting that you had this commonality with all these students. Now me, I didn't have any of that. I was a loner. But then no one ever fucked with me. So
right.
You know, it was basically that. And you know, I've said it before, I kind of regret not doing anything, but at the same time, nothing was there, and I didn't have any interest. All I did was, I went to school. At the time, I had a job, I sold bagels for 3 months, and then I worked fast food for 9 months when I was a senior in high school. I did everything but work cashier. For some reason, they would not let me work cashier, but...
I worked cashier.
You worked cashier?
I worked at Bulgarini's. It's a gelateria, and people would come, like, on Saturday night all the way from Woodland Hills just to have it. The guy who opened the place, who was terrifying, but not on purpose, he was from Italy. He, like, went onto the top of this mountain in Italy where he learned, like, the secrets of making ice cream from an old man living on a volcano or something.
Okay.
I never heard the whole story, but it was totally, like, over the top.
Did you wear a paper hat while you were doing this?
No, but we did have to watch Italian television, which is famously the worst in the world.
Even more than Spanish TV?
Oh, yes.
How
Italy,
so?
Italy has the worst television in the world.
Well, wouldn't there be a lot of nudity?
Yeah, but it's shit. We had to watch, like, we had to watch Italian Idol with this guy who looks like John Lovett singing like this. It's
and in Italian.
Yeah, you know, in Italian. And then Dionne Warwick would come out, because why not? And this is just the most surreal experience. So eventually, I brought my thing, and I started playing Flight of the Conchords, and I think that's why I was fired.
Did they warn you first, or they just said get the hell out?
No, they were real passive aggressive.
As soon as they said we like to rock the party, rock the party, rock the party, and then they cut it off and they said get the hell out.
No, but stop me. Oh shit! I shouldn't have said the name.
Well, that's okay. We'll edit it out in post. I'll see what I can
my
do.
My boss stopped me when they started talking about hermaphrodites in that one song.
Which song? I forgot.
Ladies of the World.
Oh yeah. I remember the Bowie song.
Oh, man, the Bowie song was like my song between me and this guy I used to sit next to, named, I won't say.
Or were you just running around saying, I'm David Bowie?
No. Well, we'd come into class, we sat next to each other for 4 years in every class, just coincidentally, and I'd say, are you okay, Bowie? What was that sound? And he'd say, I don't know, man, I'll have to turn my ship around.
And thus, a friendship was born.
That's actually how it ended.
Oh my God!
That didn't end the friendship, but I mean we'd known each other for years by then.
See, I didn't have anything like that in high school. I just remember one time it was senior year when some guy out of nowhere just showed up and started singing the Sweater Song from Weezer, and then during the chorus he just started yelling, "Pull this thread as I masturbate," and then we just started all laughing.
Yeah,
but
this is my curse. I had too much of a good time in high school, so I'm doomed to be miserable.
So you're
going to
be like that? You're going to be like that guy. You're going to be like that guy from freaking Napoleon Dynamite who said his best year was 1982. That's
my best year was 2007, but this year has actually given me a run for my money.
This has been a hell of a year. I can't say anything about 2007 because I was already out of school and working at a job that I later would get fired from, technically let go. But it was still, I can't speak much about it. But yeah, this year's been nuts.
Yeah.
I haven't dealt with a year like this. I mean, certain years, I don't know about yourself, because you're a bit younger than me.
I mean, this is on a personal level. I went to New York in, like, January, first thing.
Oh, wow.
I've done a lot of things. I've been working on this pilot of mine, which I can't talk too much about.
Right.
Because this is public, not really airwaves, but you know.
Yes.
And I'm working on this documentary.
Now, what's the documentary about, if you don't mind me asking?
The documentary, tentatively, is called The Times Are Changing Back. And it's about sort of the state of rock music today, sort of how we've gone into like this pop revival with girl groups and She and Him and how we got to this place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to like talk to these bands and whatever, because they're most of them are local.
Right.
And I just think it'd be an interesting thing to do.
Well, that sounds like a very good idea. I mean, hell, there are all sorts of documentaries out there. I remember once I saw a trailer, and this is absolutely ridiculous, and I even mentioned it on an earlier episode, there was a documentary about a grocery bagging competition. I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
I've seen some great documentaries lately. A really good documentary should be able to bring a person who is not otherwise interested into that world.
Right.
And that's why I liked stuff like Harvard Beats Yale 2929 or The King of Kong.
King of Kong is amazing. King of Kong is probably one of the best documentaries I've ever seen. There's two others that I really enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
One was The Life and Times of Harvey Milk, which is a classic, and then also Cocaine Cowboys. I don't know if you've ever seen Cocaine Cowboys.
I have not.
That's about, obviously, the cocaine trade in the 1980s in Miami, and it's probably better than quite a few action movies. I think
you've got to check that out.
Yeah, definitely write that down. Don't bother with the sequel, which is on InstaView. That's Cocaine Cowboys 2, mm-hmm. but check out Cocaine Cowboys. It's really, really good. I know, for me, in terms of documentaries, you're right, it's the subject matter, but also I like the idea of there's more. It really depends, because sometimes I think there's some documentaries that are a little bit, they have a good idea, but they're a bit overhanded. Like, I don't know if you ever followed Alex Gibney's stuff. Like, I think he's got a great structure, but it's almost really on the nose with some of his music choices. Like, he did that Enron documentary, and he also did a movie, a documentary about Jack Abramoff. And he also had another one, Elliot Spitzer. And they're all insanely long, but they're very, very good. Oh, another great one, Hearts and Minds from the 1970s.
You know, Jack Abramoff was a bully in high school.
And his Not surprising.
All the people, he was in West LA, and his nickname was Abraham Jackoff.
Wouldn't surprise me. Did you know he also produced a Dolph Lundgren movie?
Yes, I do know about, I forget what it was.
Red Scorpion, yes.
<the one.
laughs> I saw the trailer of that at the New Beverly when they were doing a brief Dolph Lundgren festival where I saw the 89 Punisher and I Come in Peace, which is complete ass. And it's, no disrespect to Mr. Lundgren, of course, because he could obviously kill us all. But that was not a very good movie. You can't get it on DVD for some weird-ass reason. It's absolutely ridiculous. So, now what about yourself? What favorite documentaries do you enjoy?
Well, I like the ones that I...
Just the ones you mentioned,
of course. I'm really only getting into documentaries. I don't know the name of this one, but when I was in high school, we watched a lot of movies. We watched a lot of documentaries, and one of them was sort of like the decline of Western civilization.
Oh, my God.
But that was actually one of the ones we watched. But we watched another one that was like in the same time, but it was like the very beginning of hip-hop.
Well, wait. How did you get access to this? Was this on videotape? Because the decline of Western civilization is not on DVD.
I don't even remember. I know. That's what's so infuriating.
That's one of the few movies I've yet to see, because I'd really want to.
I'm the big television guy. And there are so many things that are not on DVD. It infuriates me.
Such as?
Misguided, the original Cupid.
With Jeremy Piven?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was supposed to be a lot better than the version that brought it back.
Right. I'm not a big television guy. I know. I just, for some reason, sometimes when you'd hear the internet, they would go crazy about certain shows. It seems a little bit off-putting, especially if you're not into it.
There's a lot of older sort of cancel. You know, I'm Mr. Canceled Classic. I did a whole series on my blog about great TV shows that were canceled before.
If you say Cop Rock, you're immediately going to be thrown out of this apartment.
I didn't say Cop Rock.
Okay.
And most of them, in fact, almost all of them are from the past 10 years.
Okay.
But there's a whole other bunch of canceled classics that we don't even know that much about because they're not available on home video.
Right.
Like Bakersfield PD or Nothing Sacred, which are all things you can find on the AV Club somewhere down.
Well, Bakersfield PD, if I'm not mistaken, is actually on Hulu, I believe.
Is it now?
I think it is. You may have to check that out. Well, I'm not quite sure. Or that may have been Manhattan, Arizona. But I know, I think one of the great, pilots that I wish that, you probably wish I'd became a series was Heat Vision and Jack.
I've loved Heat Vision and Jack.
Oh, man, what a show.
Yeah, it is amazing. But, yes. I really liked Look Well. That's another
one. Oh, yes, Look Well is another one. I mean, the fact that we could have had an Adam West rebirth for his career.
And it was Conan O'Brien created.
Yeah.
And the whole culture has totally changed from when I was, in diapers.
Obviously. But
all these people who were not given a chance are now Mr. Yeah. Whoever.
Well, I think that's also due to the internet and just the fact that a lot, because they've talked about this for a lot, that the demographics of people watching TV, it's not three channels anymore, it's much more splintered. So yeah, you're gonna have those niche audiences that are able to, you know, carry something, but at the same time, they, you know, people can be insanely fickle. I mean, hell, right. What, 3 years ago, everyone was jizzing about Heroes? I don't know why, but yeah.
Heroes that, first, well, okay.
The only,
Let me tell you something about Heroes. Okay. I liked the first season of Heroes. I just guzzled it down in one thing, because
right.
I watched it after it was on.
Yeah.
That summer.
Okay.
And I watched it again on DVD lately.
Right.
I tried watching the pilot, and I couldn't rewatch it. Not because it had changed somehow, but because now that I knew how it ended, I felt like, I fucking hate Ali Larder. She's such a waste of time. That show, her whole thread on that show was a colossal waste of time.
The only thing that
there's
I felt...
There's no consequences to that whole, the whole Nikki thread. Pointless.
She was the cheerleader, right?
No.
Okay, I don't know who the fuck
she was
that
is. She was the stripper with the heart of gold.
Oh, okay.
Who had a split personality.
Uh-huh.
And nothing ever came of that in the season... at all, except that she had the son who could fix the election, and everything the else that was interesting that was going on was sort of reserved. It seemed like there wasn't that much of it.
Right.
Watching it the first time, I wouldn't have had that problem, but there's some things that are only good the first time you watch it.
Yeah.
Like Little Miss Sunshine.
See, I've never seen Little Miss Sunshine because everyone told me to stay the hell away from it.
Watch it once and never again.
That's exactly the way I felt about Napoleon Dynamite. I didn't think it was like, and again, this was way after the hype. That I knew was like, oh man, this isn't going to be that good. But then I could say, there are lots of things that I thought were one and dones, and I was like, you know what, I'm not going to ever watch this again, because I know it's not going to be the same. Like Borat, who the hell, no one ever, why would anyone watch Borat repeatedly?
Napoleon Dynamite and Borat were the like most ubiquitous things, because they all came out when I was in high school.
Right.
That really dominated everything.
So everyone would just constantly be going like, sexy time!
Everything got run the fuck into the ground.
Yes.
Especially because it was all boys.
Oh, God.
We're attracted to anything homoerotic, really. We were just dry humping everywhere.
Oh.
But it was just a joke, you know.
Sure it was.
Yeah, it's true. We called it Bosco Love. And I have a Facebook page that's dedicated to Bosco Love.
Oh, my God. So basically everything was like a walking Kevin Smith movie, basically. Or no, it was a Kevin Smith podcast where everything is basically about ass fucking and then like, oh, no, wait. No, never mind.
Not that much.
Okay.
We weren't homophobic. Keep in mind.
It wasn't like Oz, basically.
It wasn't like we were like... We weren't homophobic. We didn't have a problem.
No, I understand that.
People.
No, I'm just saying... No,
there's a lot of ho-yay, you know?
It was just a lot of, you know, overly... You know, this is a hair away from going right into gay pornography.
Let me tell you something. Let me explain it to you in terms of Inception.
Okay.
We were all like Arthur and Eames.
Okay, so it was just right under the surface.
Yeah.
I won't need to go any further.
Yeah.
Because it's none of my business as to what you were doing in there. So, but yeah, we didn't have any of that in high school. I could say...
I would have been fucking... I feel like an HBO show and Catholic school is like HBO. I wouldn't have survived anywhere else.
Well, yeah, it's basically Oz. I think that's, you know, I remember...
No, I mean, like, I feel like I'm in... I'm this show that would be canceled if I was in a public high school. It's like the public school is like the three networks, and I am not in there.
Perhaps.
I shouldn't use so many television analogies.
I think I can kind of see what you're saying, but I will say about in terms of like what was going on for me in high school. Now I went, as I said, I just kept doing my own thing. I hate to use the word zeitgeist really going on. I remember we listened to Hoobastank. That's about it.
Yeah, we listen to a lot of 80s music, because when you're in Catholic school, it's still the 80s.
Now, I gotta say, just to derail for a second, because you're in Catholic school, did you wear a tie with a little crest on it with a jacket?
No.
Did you wear a pleated skirt?
Oh, yes.
Okay, then.
We had a non-formal, which was like a polo shirt and slacks.
Okay.
And then we had formal, which we had to buy ourselves.
Those
but
bastards.
We all had the same tastes in clothing, so we all looked alike anyway.
Oh my God!
We all had black pants and black shirts and gold ties, and we looked like some sort
waiters.
Of...
Waiters?
No, I was going to say fascist apparatchiks, but waiters is good enough.
It's pretty good, actually. Or used car salesman, I would also go with. But
yeah, well, it was a pretty ethnic school.
Oh, that's interesting, actually. Yeah, because usually Catholic school. I mean, I didn't go to any private schools. It's you know. Although, I mean, we're in the area that we are. I mean, Catholic schools, I mean, I knew people from Catholic school. That's more, you know, I would bet be, you know, largely Latino, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was Latino and Asian and Filipino and white people, and then we had the one black guy.
Yeah, that's interesting, because,
who I'm pretty sure was the inspiration for Magnitude on Community.
Really?
Yeah.
You mean Donald Glover?
No. Magnitude. Yo, pop, pop. That guy.
Oh, okay. See, I haven't watched much Community.
You must. Magnitude is a one-scene wonder. He's like Jerem on that one episode of 30 Rock. That's not that much cheese.
I'm familiar with Starburns, of course, but yeah. Who can't forget a guy like that?
Although Magnitude makes Starburns look like nobody.
Oh, how could you say that about Starburns?
Oh, you have to
it's
see.
It's Starburns.
Oh, my God.
All right, but I will say, I did have... Did you ever see Donald Glover's movie Mystery Team?
No, should I?
I'd recommend it. Okay. It's cheap, but it's got a lot of upright Citizens Brigade people in it. I would recommend checking it out. In fact, Aubrey Plaza's in it. I didn't even realize it. So, because as you
know... Aubrey Plaza is delightful. I love pretty dark-haired women in breakfast food.
Yes. As you know, Randall, who's the usual regular host on this show, is in awe of Ron Swanson. And I can definitely say, and I had no idea, and I mentioned this on the previous episode, that Ron Swanson was in Sin City, and you can't recognize him. First
Ron
off, because he's
Swanson
only in 2 seconds.
Was based on a real person.
Yeah, that too.
And my dad, who works in government, he knows a lot of people.
Your dad's Ron Swanson? I'm kidding, of course.
He's not far. He likes books about old boats.
Did you know that the guy who plays Ron Swanson, Nick Offerman, has a DVD on how to build your own canoe? This is
no,
a real item.
Please, I want to see this.
This is a real
does
item that can
have,
be purchased.
Does he still have a mustache?
I don't think he does. I think he has only a bit. It's weird seeing him without the mustache. He actually looks better with it, because I'm not a fan of facial hair. But the fact that he looks much better with it than without it.
It's distinctive. It's like Burt Reynolds.
He has probably one of the best stashes out there. Would you say that Ron Swanson's mustache is the best stash ever? Or it certainly belongs... I can't...
It's definitely in the top three.
What are your other top two?
Burt Reynolds, and I can't think of the other.
I'm going to say, in terms of top three, you got Ron Swanson, Ron Burgundy, and...
I have to tell you something. This is going to take your fucking
head probably, off. And probably Burt Reynolds, or I'm also going to say maybe John Waters, but that's pushing it. Anyway, your show about Ron Burgundy.
I was just going to take your fucking head off. Ron Burgundy was based on my Uncle Bill.
Get out of here.
I'm not kidding. He was in Santa Barbara. He was there for like 25 years. He was the host of the evening news in Santa Barbara.
I didn't even know Santa Barbara had a local news show. How is that even possible?
What do you mean?
It's not that big of a city, though.
But where are they going to get their local news?
Los Angeles.
But it's not part of the Los Angeles area.
You son of a bitch. That's right. So anyway, as you were saying.
Yeah, he did. I come from a long line of high-functioning alcoholics. My great-great-grandfather, Huddy, came to this country from Australia, so you know how that is.
Oh, yeah.
He was sent there for impersonating an Egyptian.
Of course,
was a crime at the time.
Because, as you know, that the country was founded on convicts.
Yeah,
and they can outdrink anyone. I think it's certainly, I can't say better than an Irishman, but it's certainly on par.
He would do that on camera.
Oh, just drink on camera.
Yeah, and there is a man who could work a mustache.
Oh wow,
Uncle Bill. He died when I was little, but you know.
Of alcoholism, I assume.
Actually, he drank himself to death, but okay. He was also the longest lived Huddy man of all time. He was 71.
That's a pretty good run.
No, Huddy men die young. I'm probably gonna die young of something.
Well, then you better live fast.
I am living fast.
Okay.
You know, I have to get married before I lose my hair.
Oh.
Because that's going to happen.
Well, yeah, that's a good point, actually. But, yeah.
Deal with some other shit, man.
Oh, that's some heavy business.
I have to get this heavy stuff out of the way so I can just live the rest of my life.
You might as well, in my opinion, just live the exact life that occurred in True Romance. You're going to need to, wherever you're working, your boss needs to hire a call girl. You're attending a movie, and you meet. And then you basically then have to kill her pimp. You then need to drive to another city while your significant other is killed by Christopher Walken, and then you need to get into a massive shootout over a briefcase of cocaine. I think that needs to be done. I can't speak for that. I could maybe, and I can't even fulfill the Michael Rapaport role.
Really seem like my kind of thing, but...
Well, I don't know. What would you suggest?
I don't know. What the hell? I want to go make pancakes or something.
You want to rest your life making breakfast foods? Or?
No, that would be nice, but I just want to be a television writer, man. That's all I can say.
Hey, that's a hell of a career right there. I mean, I know there's someone else I know that's doing the same thing, and it's an interesting thing. Again, when you're in a city like this, you're meeting a lot of people, you know, that's the main, you know, one of our main industries is entertainment, and you come across a lot of people and doing a lot of things. I mean, you know, my good friend Randall's trying to do, you know, try to be a director, and I had my own writing kick for a long time, but that my writing just was pure shit. I don't know. Did you ever write fan fiction?
Well, a spec script is fan fiction.
When you say spec script, are you talking about, because I know this from somebody else, that basically, say you like a show, so you then decide to write your own episode of that show.
Right.
My parents actually did a similar thing once many years ago. They once wrote their own Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, in fact, a few years ago, and I've only ever done one spec, it's a 30 Rock spec, and now people want to see pilots, writers and TV shows, they want people to send in pilots to see how they just work on their own. And a few years ago, I saw an actual stage reading of an Arrested Development spec in Burbank by this great comedian. Her name is Jackie Swidler, and she's a friend of my neighbor who is also a stand-up comedian who also has his podcast called Comedy and Everything Else.
Hmm, interesting. And then, oddly enough, in this show, I also know a guy who's doing his own stand-up comedy thing, and you may have heard him on an earlier episode, Jake, who just graduated from the Ice House, which is located in your place of residence, basically, over in Pasadena.
Yeah.
So wait, when you did this, so you just did a 30 Rock one, did you ever try to do other things and, like, you know, just for the hell of it, or...?
Well, I wrote... The 30 Rock spec was my first television script.
Okay.
And I've done one pilot since then, and I'm working on this new pilot and expanding from there.
Yes.
But thus far, I only really started in the summer, even though this is something I've been working toward for a while. I've written other scripts, like... movie scripts, but they weren't very good. I'm not a film person, mm-hmm. really.
That's interesting, because, yeah, I'm more of a film guy. I mean, I admit my TV has never been hooked up, so I'm just not paying much attention to TV. Although, I mean, I could, you know, when there are great shows, there are great shows. And, man, right. I can't wait for the latest season of Mad Men to come out on DVD.
Oh,
but then
that
I've
was
been...
a great season.
Oh, that's what I hear. It really is. I can't wait.
It was, like, totally... You know, the other seasons sort of, like, follow a narrative pattern.
Yeah.
And this just sort of breaks all of that.
No kidding.
It just ignores all the conventions it's set previously.
Right.
And they're still in talks for this next season.
Fifth season, which is the last season.
No, I thought six was the last season.
I had heard... See, it's weird, because I once heard when Mad Men first came out that each season was going to be, like, in 2 years' time. But then, and they did that once, but then they just said the hell with that.
Right, it was 60, and then 62,
and then it became
63.
It was 63, and then this latest one is 65.
It's 64 and
64, 65.
And the next one, I think, is 67, and the last one is 69.
See, the funny thing is, I had heard once, like, the guy who did it, Matthew Weiner, was going to be like, it was going to just be five seasons, and then the last season was going to end in 1970. But then it was like, well,
we're going to keep doing this into the 80s.
Yeah, I know. Some people wanted to do that. They wanted to see, you know, Don Draper.
Him in one of those blue shirts with the white collars.
Not so much that, but like the 70s when Don Draper's got some massive sideburns. He's got cocaine dusting on his wide lapels and those ugly ass short ties with the fat knots and all that.
I don't think Don Draper would do that. I think Don Draper would make the 70s work.
I don't know how, though, because the 70s were... I mean, you look at... You know, I mean, I imagine you saw Zodiac, right?
Yeah, that's my
you saw the fashion about that. I mean, it was not...
Toski. Yeah.
Well, yeah, Toski had an awesome head of hair, though, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Like, real... You know, he's, like, inspired, like, multiple characters in movies.
There's a great thing from Cracked. They talked about that there's a scene in Zodiac when he's watching Dirty Harry.
Yes.
And the fact that Dave Toski is watching himself. An actor... The guy playing Dave Toski is watching a version of himself played by another actor based on a true story.
Dave Toski is watching that.
Yes, it's basically the universe inverted on itself.
Yeah, and he lived right around the corner from SF State.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Did he ever just walk outside of his house to get milk or?
No. Once this girl tried to get me to this school Jewish club.
Oh, the Hillel?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she gave me the wrong address. I was supposed to be on Banbury, but she told me it was on Deer Lane or something. I forget what the name of the street is.
Right.
But I ended up there, and I ended up... It was Dave Toski.
He just walked... He was just standing there?
But I didn't know it was him at the time.
You just saw some old guy.
Yeah.
Did he have that hair, or did he not have hair?
He had hair.
Did it look exactly like that? Well, obviously white.
No, the real Dave Toski has straight hair.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I did not know that, because that was a hell of a portrayal, really. I mean, that was really up
there.
That's
a Jufro.
It's just great, great. It's just a great mop of curly hair. You can almost like I want to take a nap on that. It's a great afro, basically.
No, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't take a nap on someone's hair. It's just gross.
Well, I'm just saying, just how fluffy and bouncy it looks. It seems like it seems very comfortable.
I wouldn't mind using Seth Rogen's hair as a trampoline.
Oh yes, I love that line from Knocked Up. It's like, I love your hair. Do you use any product? It's like, it's called Jew. Yeah. And as someone with wavy hair myself, I can understand. And then it runs in my family that no one has straight hair. And one of my sisters has very fat curls with her very curly hair, but they're fat curls. It's not tight, like
right.
Literally,
it's
like
not
literally.
Frizzy.
Yeah, it's not like an afro we're talking about here. But when I would try and unfortunately grow my hair out, it would just be a horrendous mess. And I would try, and I just can't do it. It's just. I can't have skater hair. It's just not possible, unfortunately. I have to realize that and just be aware of my limitations.
I love to observe like the evolution of things, of how the changing of things, how things look, the changing of how things look on a bit by bit thing, and that's why I seem to have become a very fashion conscious person. I've realized some things from my past. I used to have that in the mid '90s, that bowl cut. That
everyone
down the middle.
Yeah,
make me look like a sensitive man.
Well,
like,
wait.
Nick
did you?
Carter.
Yeah, did you ever see? This was a fucking great movie. Did you ever watch The Wackness?
I gotta see The Wackness.
You gotta see that movie. And because I know what you're talking about. It was called a mushroom haircut. Every guy in the '90s had that fucking haircut. And
until 1999,
when everyone dyed their hair blonde.
Everybody got the Bart Simpson look.
Well, not only that, they dyed their hair blonde.
Yep.
Everyone dyed their hair blonde. Now, I didn't do that for. I've never dyed my hair.
I did both of those things. I dyed my hair blonde and I spiked it.
Did you dye your hair, the tips of your hair blonde, or did you dye all of it blonde?
Well, I didn't dye it. I just kind of like sprayed it once a day, so it got a little bit lighter with time.
So you bleached it. Basically,
yeah,
isn't that?
Basically.
Well, that was like also when Eminem was first coming out. So, I mean, there was that.
Right.
Did you ever skunk your hair?
No.
Okay, you didn't. You never had like one side that was like dark?
But after I spiked it around 2003, I stopped spiking it and I just let it grow until I had that like wing skater thing. Like the wings of a majestic bird.
Yeah, the layered hair, the feathered hair. Yeah.
Not like the feathered hair.
I know
like,
what you're talking about. I've seen
like
your photos.
Not like Nicandopoulos, but I had that whole like skater thing.
Yeah.
Which I now hate.
Were you a skater?
Fuck no.
Did you ever wear a Flame Boy T-shirt?
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking
about.
It's
the smiley flame that's given the. I remember that. That was like the only thing I ever noticed in school, and also big dog clothes. And there's always a
dog.
Did you ever see anyone wear this? Was a Spencer Gifts classic, a T-shirt that read "Take me to your dealer."
No.
You ever see that poster?
No.
Okay then. I didn't wear that either. But for me, I just wore a lot of shirt jackets. And
I do have some famous T-shirts in my closet.
That consist of.
Vote for Pedro.
Okay.
Anything? You know what? That's it.
Okay, it just says vote for Pedro.
Yep, I have vote for Pedro.
It's going to be really sad that I think that's going to be one...
That's our Frankie Say Relax.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean, you could... I hate to say it because, I mean, it's going to take a little bit more time to really sum up the previous decade, but clearly you've got that. You've got a Live Strong wristband.
Three Wolf Moon.
That's another...
We got the emo swoop.
Yes.
Now,
speaking of that, I just want to mention when you had the skater haircut, did you ever try flipping your hair?
No.
You never did that thing where they would just do that on TV?
I didn't try to do anything with my hair. I was really low maintenance at that time.
Okay.
But
Okay, I had to ask. But, so yeah, you're right. Three Wolf Moon, because that was really when the hipsterdom thing really hit full force. And I think that's still going on. We're basically people enjoying things that look really shitty and ugly. And
right,
are really
that's
analog.
Not all hipsters. There's levels of hipsters. I don't like that ironic thing. I'm sort of like a hipster imperialist. I'm trying to like make things popular as much as I can.
Well, do you think these things are legitimately popular, or are you just taking random items and just saying, I'm going to go ahead and try to make this popular?
Well, that depends. There's two different kinds of hipsters. There's the hipsters that wear T-shirts, and there's the hipsters that wear vests. I am the vest kind.
I happen to own a vest myself, actually. Are you saying a sweater vest, or are you saying a regular vest?
I'm saying like a regular vest, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt or Beck or what have you.
Do you... Do you wear a tie with that, or do you wear the vest open or closed?
I wear it closed, but the tie is optional. I
love that combination.
In the past 4 years, I've transitioned entirely to skinny ties.
Oh, those are great.
Now when I look back, and now everybody wears skinny ties. You look on TV, people wear skinny ties.
Well, those are not... They're known... This is fashion, of course. They're known as slim fit ties. They're not as skinny as they say... Like, you watch something from the 80s or even from the 60s.
60s, definitely.
Yeah, much... They're not as narrow.
I have some ties from the 60s. I bought them vintage.
No kidding.
Yeah. But I look back now and on, like, TV shows from the 90s and the 2000s, yeah. And all of a sudden, these ties look weirdly big. And it seems weird to me now.
Yeah. They're just... Well, I mean, the funny thing is, those are regular ties. They're just wider.
And this is the weird thing. You know? The only people who I have never seen wear skinny ties after the 60s, presidents.
Yeah.
Presidents always wear wide ties, no matter what.
That's interesting, actually. Yeah, you're right. No, you've never, you know... Well,
saw Reagan with a skinny tie.
No. Didn't JFK wear a skinny tie?
Yes, but that was when that's the last time they did it.
Well, of course. They're not going to wear the fashion of the day.
They should. They're the president. They should be representative of the times.
Why would George W. Bush wear a Vote for Pedro t-shirt?
Yeah, but that's not formal.
But see, a suit is a suit is a suit. That's the thing. I think there's that classic, you know, look that, like you say, you watch, you know, Stephen Colbert. He doesn't always wear, you know, slim ties. It's just a suit.
That's true.
I mean, the only difference.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm not looking for answers. I'm just trying to spread the word. You know.
Okay. Now, what else are you trying to push?
I'm trying to push right now. Let's see. Recently. And I don't think this should be included in the... I'm not going to include that in the podcast. You can cut that out.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just disregard that.
Recently, even though I am a man and people think I'm gay because of this, I've been trying to phase out low-rise jeans.
On men?
On women. But men, that's just... That's
kind of gross, actually. Yeah. You know what's funny that, like...
That's just...
I noticed
don't
this...
Do that.
Yeah, exactly. I noticed that... That stupid thing of, like, when you wear your jeans kind of low, you know, obviously you got your underwear shown.
But then you got skinny jeans and they're low.
See, that's the thing. How the fuck...
And that's like some ghetto Asian shit.
Well, not only that, it's like you can't fucking walk. And then, like, the other thing is that for me, I don't know about yourself, you're obviously a bit thinner than I am, that you can't, if those jeans are that tight, what... I guess this is why people wear their keys outside their pants, because they can't fit anything in their fucking pockets.
I used to wear my keys outside my pants just because it was, like... fashionable at the time.
To me, that seems dangerous because then what happens if you fall? You can land on your keys. Did you ever think about that?
Oh. I landed on my keys. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Get the hell out of here. You actually landed on your keys?
They didn't go up. They went flat. That's how keys do.
Well, you don't... I think you may be blocking something out mentally because that's not what happened to Garth in Wayne's World at all. He stopped dead because he fell on his keys. So... Anyway,
shit.
Yeah, exactly. That was a
but
you
anyway,
were risking
I
your life.
To, I've been trying anyway. To. My last effort was to try to phase out low rise jeans on women, and it seems to have worked.
Okay.
Although I don't think that was because of me.
I will say this: I do not want there. I mean, there were some ugly clothes. Obviously, sure. Every decade's got ugly clothes.
Yeah, I know, but the 2000s were especially ugly in many ways.
In such as?
They were physically ugly. Things just didn't look good, and. I mean, not just clothes, but, like, buildings and...
What buildings?
People.
People?
Ah, yes. Chongas, man. Chongas.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, you don't know.
Is that, like, an UGG boot?
A chonga is just a... It's a girl that's just dirty.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
They got the hoop earrings and the flip-flops.
Wait.
Spanish slang.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about a chola, aren't you?
No.
With the crunchy hair and the paint, eyebrows done with a Sharpie and all that?
Yeah, cholas can be chongas, but they're a little bit more aggressive. Chongas are just people who don't care, basically.
Well, how's that different from you right now? Okay, I'm sorry. But, okay, sweatpants, okay.
I haven't tried getting rid of sweatpants. I've just tried...
Well, what do you work out in? You don't work out in a three-piece suit, though.
I don't work out at all. I just walk everywhere.
Well, what did you have to wear in gym class?
What?
What did you have to wear in gym class? You had to wear sweatpants.
Well, we had our own. They gave us their own clothes for that.
Yes.
Screen printed on.
Okay. Did you have to write your name on them, or did they actually?
We didn't have to.
Huh. I had to in my school. Well, in middle school, I didn't take really gym and.
They made us wear briefs.
What?
Yeah, they said that there was a great danger to our testicles.
That's why you have
if we run around so much.
That's why you have the boxer briefs.
We'd have like torsion. Like on that one episode of the Venture Brothers.
I will say for the record, and I, you know, just for those people out there, I already know this. I had torsion, and everything in that episode is accurate. And it, That just happens out of nowhere. Well, unless you were severely kicked in the balls.
Well, don't ask me. I had boxer briefs, but I never did that again. I've been in boxers since fourth grade.
I don't need to know anything further. But the fact is that, but that's why, as I said, you have the boxer brief is the best of both worlds. Why would you wear, you know, and that's a whole other discussion where I noticed, at least on my end of things, that we're like, there's that thing about, you know, I've said this before, like designer men's underwear, where it's like, it's basically like underoos for an 8-year-old on like a, like a late 20-something man. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, yeah, I noticed a lot.
That's giving me like a real Ginza vibe.
I don't know what that is.
That's this main street in Tokyo, the subway stations where they sell girls' panties.
Now, it's funny you mention that, because I actually had a couple people that had gone to Japan, and they had said they had never found vending machines that sold women's panties. Huh. That was a complete,
they
complete
sell
myth.
Women's panties on the subway in Boston.
Really?
But they're new. They're not used.
Is it someone just selling it on the street?
They're just selling it on the platform, sort of. It's like a Y shape at the platform under City Hall.
Is it a vending machine, or is it just some
guy
selling
it?
It's
just like a stand. They had scarves and everything. I was there in the winter, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
They're just selling whatever.
Interesting.
There are some places where they will, and David Sims is wrong about this.
Who's David Sims?
He reviews Seinfeld on the AV Club.
Okay.
That they will sell gyros on the New York subway at some
euros.
Places.
Yeah, euros.
Yeah.
No kidding, actually.
On the platform.
Huh. I had no idea about that. Well, I mean, it was a different time in Seinfeld.
Open. Our subway system here, the whole West Coast, it's so, they don't allow any of that stuff. It's very austere.
Well, there's nothing wrong with, like, are you sure you can't just wait the 20 minutes so you can eat on the street? You got to eat in the subway car?
Is that really necessary? It's
already gross in there anyway.
New York is a hard place to get around.
What do you mean it's a hard place to get around?
I mean, there's a lot of stuff, but it takes a long time.
Well, I mean, but you can easily get to it.
It's the best system in the world. It makes San Francisco look like Detroit in terms of public transit.
Whoa, I would disagree, because I've been to San Francisco. I know you were there for a couple of years,
right.
But the mass transit there was pretty damn good. I mean, compared to L.A.
Well, we have a regional system, and they have a regional system. We don't have a municipal system, and that's where we're lacking.
Yeah, I know, actually, there's Dash, but that's the really local bus system.
Yeah.
And then
they're building a streetcar for downtown Los Angeles.
Yeah, I hope they really pull that off. But I mean, for San Francisco, you'd be an idiot to drive around there. So need the mass transit.
San Francisco is
the only problem.
I
remember walking around downtown.
Dude.
Yeah.
New York, there is a subway line every two blocks.
Yeah.
Except in Queens.
Yeah.
And it comes every minute. In
right.
San Francisco, I was on the M car. I lived off the M car.
The Muni car, you mean, right?
No, the M. There's E, F, J, K, L, M, N, and S, and T.
Right.
And I was off of M, which comes every 20 minutes, and it's stuffed to the gills, and it's only one car, and it's a disaster.
Yeah, because everything's beaten to shit. I mean, now I noticed when I was in San Francisco, the BART system, which is their subway, it's a regional subway.
It's there, yeah.
It's really loud.
It's there, yeah.
Did you ever notice that? That it was like really fucking loud?
Oh yeah, it's very loud.
It had a high-pitched whine and all that.
Like that. Yeah, I know that. You know, there aren't a lot of regional systems. You know, New York has PATH, which is sort of like that, and we have Metro, which is like that. We need a local system.
Well, they're working on that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's been said before, and you may have looked into this. I mean, we had a lot of NIMBYs on the West Side.
West Side.
I happen to work over there, pal. So, you know, but anyway.
The West Side is the valley by the sea.
We already are in the valley, so what does that mean?
Just because we're in the valley doesn't mean I have to like it.
That's very true. I can tell you, I once knew someone, basically, my ex had said that, he was from Washington State, you know, basically would just always just shit on L.A. every chance he had. Now, I don't know, have you ever been to Seattle?
I've been to Seattle.
I thought it was all right. I wouldn't want to live there, and also I thought,
it's a nice enough place.
It's all right, but the problem is for me is
they have good public transit in Seattle.
They do, but the problem is you can't get a beer after 9. It's bullshit. So
after 9?
Well, see, this up there, it's weird, and I've said this before, that like all the liquor stores are state-run or state-licensed.
Oh, yeah.
See, it's unlike over here where we have the freedom to buy beer at the gas
right.
station.
Right, they've got
you
that.
Up there, you can't just go on a beer run at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night. I know some guy who lives in Philly, and the same thing. They got to go to a bar to buy beer.
In Pasadena, they make like Walgreens close after 10.
Those assholes.
They make 24-hour places close.
Yeah.
There's all these guys think, oh, we're going to be like a little village. Fuck you. You're like a major fucking city. You got 150,000 people, 200,000 consolidated. What are you doing?
Well, it's...
You have nightlife, for God's sake.
That's true. You do have nightlife. I've been to Old Town and...
the Playhouse District in South Lake.
Never saw the Playhouses, but I remember seeing it portrayed in Party Down. And, yeah, I haven't been to Pasadena in a few years. Well, no, that's not true. I went to saw my good friend Jake, his graduation show at the Ice House. And then I had a date once with someone who worked at a Pottery Barn in the Old Town area a few years ago. That was it later. It ended after a week, and it ended on the day after we saw Children of Men. So that was a horrible mistake on a date.
Is that a good movie?
Fantastic fucking movie. What are you kidding me? You better watch that, man. And but yeah, I have not been to Pasadena in some time. Although what's very funny, and for you listeners out there, this is going to be a treat. I actually knew someone who ran for the mayoralty of Pasadena a few years ago.
And he knows me, but I don't know him.
Well, how does he? What do you mean by he knows you? Does he actually know your name and address, or he just says,
no,
I know that guy?
No, he just knows Monty Park.
Okay.
I did this. I said some things. I did some criticism of Bill Bogart on my blog, and I said...
And Bill Bogart is the current mayor of Pasadena.
I mentioned Aaron Proctor, and he must have Googled himself.
And that's the guy's name. A guy by the name of Aaron Proctor, who probably will end up listening to the show. He used to be on my Facebook. I don't know what happened to him, but he kind of became a real hardcore conservative. It's a little weird. But anyway, yeah, I knew him. I actually met this guy at an industrial club. This is during my industrial phase. He had a thing where he dressed up like Adam Ant. And I was at Das Bunker, which is out in the West Adams area. And he was wearing a Behind Enemy Lines t-shirt. And I said... I had to point this out because it was fucking Behind Enemy Lines. So I was like, hey, that's some t-shirt you got there. It's like, yeah, I got it when I was working at Hollywood Video. And then we were just joking around. So every so often, you know, and the guy would just, you know, that was his thing. He just, for some reason, lived in Pasadena. He was originally from Philly. And, you know, he ran for the mayoralty. He lost for obvious reasons. And he got himself in a appointed position and they had to leave. You know, he's actually on Wikipedia if you look him up.
It's funny. You know, the last Republican on the Pasadena City Council retired.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Ah, what do I care? So.
I just found that interesting.
Would you ever run for city council in Pasadena, or were you trying to get the hell out of there?
Well, I'm not averse to being in Pasadena. I love Pasadena.
No kidding.
People from Pasadena, if you're born in Pasadena, it's with you forever. I mean,
Would you ever consider moving to Glendale?
No.
What about Burbank?
I would move to New York City.
Okay.
And I could move into Los Angeles.
Downtown, you mean, or just into the city?
Just the east side or downtown or wherever.
That's a good spot. I mean, for me...
But I wouldn't go anywhere else unless I had to.
Really? Okay. Right. So you would never move down to Orange County and become one of those people?
What?
Yeah, right, exactly. And I rest my case.
That's why I don't walk into Wahoo's. They're promoting a negative lifestyle.
Hey, they have very good fish tacos.
Yes, but they are like the people I went to middle school.
You can't say elementary school. What do you mean?
It's like the people I went to middle school with who only ever listened to The Offspring and wore cargo shorts and chain wallets open their own place.
All I want is an All Right song, damn. They just re-released Crazy Taxi. I don't know if you ever played that game, but they removed all the licensed music out of it. It was like, oh man, that was half the fun. And it is funny playing that game, and they also pulled all the product placement in it. But they have all this kind of generic, you know, emo sounding music in it, and it's just funny. It's like, man, this is what life in 2000 was like, and God, that year was such a fuck. But
I don't remember. I actually don't remember anything about 2000.
Of course,
like, on a cultural level,
yeah,
like nothing.
That was
happened.
Such a void, except for the election.
That's it.
Yeah, I understand completely. And X-Men. That was about it.
How many years are there where nothing happens? Apparently 1954 was a pretty boring year, but that's like the year Rock was born, so that's something.
Yeah, that's true. And then, I can just say, I mean, for you, I know it'll be different, that certain years will stick in your head. It's, again, that you're a little bit younger than me, but I could say, like, for some reason, like, 1994 will stick in my head, and you're, as I said...
Well, 94 was a good music year. And it was a good movie.
It was a good movie year. There was a lot of crazy shit going on in L.A. I mean, there's this amazing... Again, I don't know if you ever watched ESPN's 30 for 30. It's a series of documentaries about sports in the past 3 years. There's this great one called June 17th, 1994. All it is a compilation of news programs from that day. You had all these events. You had the day of the O.J. Chase, which I remember very well.
Okay.
It was also my last day of fourth grade. You had that. You had, I think it was Jack Nicklaus's last day, the New York Rangers having their victory parade, the Knicks playing the championship, and the star of the World Cup. Now, even if you don't give a fuck about sports, it's still great. And what's great...
World Cup in Pasadena.
That's right, the Rose Bowl. I remember it only because I had a T-shirt from the time, and I tried to, you know, I wanted to go to what was known as Soccer Fest, and we couldn't go. My dad wouldn't take me.
I have a T-shirt from the 1980 Olympics, which we never went to.
Yeah. So how does that work? I do remember that from 30 Rock, when it's... I forgot his name, but one of the right... Pete. He's like... All right, the Olympics has been closed. We're boycotting it. We can't go. It's like, damn peanut farmer.
And it's God, it's been 54 minutes?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
We keep it going so you don't have to, but that's crazy. How'd you get a T-shirt from the 1980 Olympics?
My grandma had it. I don't know where she got it.
Well, yeah, it's a good question. Unless it was one of those things that, like, when championships occur, they always print two sets of T-shirts, and they have the winning team and the losing team. They always send the losing team stuff to Africa.
I guess it's before we decided we were going to boycott it.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine that was a fairly... That wasn't long before the games themselves.
I can't say. I wasn't alive at the time. I mean, you would have... If you were to try
but
and
But I mean, from what I've seen, it's implied that that was a decision that was made shortly before the Olympics.
Probably. I mean, I have no idea. But, I mean, I have no memory of the 84 games for obvious reasons, because I was barely alive.
I mean, I don't remember the Barcelona. The first Olympics I remember were the Atlantic Olympics.
Yeah, see, I remember 92's games.
I remember that because I was in Canada at the time.
What the hell were you doing in Canada?
I was in Victoria with my family.
Okay.
On vacation.
All right. So, I remember the 96 games because they used to play Mystery Science Theater 3000 on broadcast TV at, like, 3 a.m., so I'd tape it, and then... On the day of the Olympic Park bombing, they had...
3 a.m. TV is the best. We used to watch Johnny Quest.
Oh, wow. Was this the original Johnny Quest, or was the revamped Johnny Quest on TBS? See, I didn't
This was on, like... This was on... I don't remember what channel this was on, but it was before dawn.
Yeah, it was weird, like, in the time of Saturday morning cartoons, there was some, like, weird shit at 5, 6 a.m.
Yeah.
It really was. And, like, SWAT Cats, I don't know if you remember that show, but with the anthropomorphic cats.
No.
It was like a furry's wet
that
dream.
That sounds fucking awful.
Yeah. You never heard of this? They fought in a fighter jet, and it's like a fatter cat and a taller. Everyone was a cat person.
Why?
Because
is it necessary to the show?
Yeah, we'll have to. I'll have to YouTube show this to you on YouTube. I'm shocked and appalled. This is again, because I once had one of my other sisters on here who was about, she just recently turned 18 again. Again, Sam here is about 6 years younger than me, but already we could see a generational difference.
I'm 21.
Yes, I know, huge fucking gap in age, sarcasm alert, but I'm surprised you didn't hear about this.
No.
So, but yeah, I do remember the 92, I remember 92 very well, again, because of what was going on at the time. You had the riots, and you had the Olympic Games, and the election, and also my brother and sister were born.
There's a lot going on now.
And then Batman, there's a lot going on.
We got Libya and Egypt and Japan.
2.5 Men getting canceled. Yes, I know.
For those of you who can't see, I'm throwing my fists in the air, and I'm doing
folks.
Lady from Flashdance.
He really is. No bucket of water here, though.
No.
But that's something. I will have to say, thankfully, I'm glad. It's amazing due to the internet that the speed at which this Charlie Sheen thing burned itself out so fucking fast. It's quite interesting.
I count this as a personal victory in the war between the hipsters and the douchebags.
Hmm.
Which I think I'm at least a major in.
I would think the douchebags would have at least the common decency not to watch 2.5 Men.
Well, the douchebags have been on. They've been hurting since Woodstock '99.
Well, are you sure you're not getting confused with meatheads? No. That's true though. Woodstock.
Fred Durst.
Yeah. God, new metal. I admit to owning Linkin Park's first album. No, that's untrue. I own both their albums.
How do you feel about System of a Down?
I loved System of a Down.
Yeah,
are you kidding me?
System of a Down is one of the more acceptable ones.
System of a Down wasn't new metal, though. That was... What are you talking about? That wasn't new metal. That was just like hard rock
anymore.
Or something.
I don't even know anymore.
They were great. I mean, I didn't necessarily agree with their politics, but I was like... I was a fucking good band. I have like practically every one of their albums.
Yeah. System of a Down was very present in my life in the first half of the 2000s.
Oh, yeah. I bought Toxicity, Steal This Album, and I bought their last two albums. And the only one I didn't have was their first, Spiders. Oh. But I remember Sugar, because back in the day, you would have, there would be that sharing service, Kazaa, and there'd be AMVs, anime music videos.
Yeah.
And I remember this one for Trigun, and it had System of a Down, Sugar. And that was a really good video. As usual, every other video was either Linkin Park's In the End or fucking Drowning Pool. So
right.
And if you use Drowning Pool, pretty much any time, and again, I think I've been told it's like a rights issue, so it's like really fucking cheap to use that song. You use that in your trailer, You've pretty much, you know, lost the audience, I think. There's no way you could safely, you know, try to make an artistic statement on anything if you use that.
Wow.
In my opinion, just because it's a terrible, terrible song. I don't know. That's just this man's opinion. I don't know. How do you feel about Dronic?
I don't know that song.
You've never heard Let the Bodies Hit the Floor.
Oh, that.
That's the band that did it.
Okay.
You obviously know what I'm talking about, I hope. Please tell me you have.
Okay, I've heard that.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, it was an awful, awful song. But yeah, new metal, I don't know why.
The Strokes saved us, man.
Well, see, that was the thing. In 2001, there was a lot, that garage rock really came out. And I got to hand it to Sam here. And again, if you ever go into the AV Club and look at their comments, which I think are pretty fucking hilarious at times, be on the lookout for Monty Park. And just the music selections he lists are really, really good. I mean, I'm really surprised, you know, that you never listened to Indy 103.1. That was such an amazing station.
Well, our school newspaper in freshman year, we did a story on Indy 103.1 and how K-Rock was trying to be more indie to try to compete with them.
They never
obviously
did.
They've given that up, because last time I listened to K-Rock was 2 years ago, and it was just like One Day as a Lion on a constant loop.
Yeah. Well, see, they pretty much have like 5 songs. And four out of five are Red Hot Chili Pepper and Foo Fighters songs.
And Outkast and Sublime.
Outkast?
Not Outkast, fuck.
What do you mean?
The other out one. The Offspring. Why did I say Outkast?
Outkast?
It's The Offspring and Sublime.
It's
the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is it's just that, I mean...
They might have one new song.
Yeah.
And every once in a while, they'll bring back an old song as if it was new.
Yeah.
And people will think it's new, and this has happened to me before. My mom thought Clint Eastwood by Gorillaz was a new song.
It's shocking.
They started playing it a lot.
Yeah, they did. And it's shocking how old that song is. I remember when it first came out.
It's 10 years old.
It's 10 years old. I remember it was the summer of 2001. I was working at a locker room at a swimming pool, and I would listen to that. It was that and Depeche Mode's Dream On, but I remember Clint Eastwood. I bought that album, and I like Tomorrow Comes Today. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big Gorillaz fan. I never bothered with the. I think they had two more albums, but I like Stylo.
Yeah, they had Demon Days, which was like a much bigger album.
And then they had,
Plastic Beach.
Plastic Beach is their latest one, right?
Right.
And that's where they have Stylo.
Right.
So, but
Electric is the love.
Yeah, damn, damn. Dun, dun,
yep.
With that video with Bruce Willis and it's quite disturbing to see the band anthropomorphized, you know, made it look like because they're 3D but they're still cartoony. It's kind of weird, and the fact that the Chinese girl should have been a young woman at this point it's a little weird that they haven't aged. But and
what
then
are
they
you
have like
do?
A well
Since
yeah
they haven't aged so fuck
well it. Yeah, that's certainly a something to point out. Now, in your opinion, speaking of The Simpsons, because someone asked me about this, when did you think that show jumped the shark?
It didn't have a moment that confirmed it.
Right.
But there...
It was definitely gradual, I feel.
Yeah. I feel like the last episode of Good Simpsons was the summer of 4'2".
That was a really good episode. I think you're absolutely right. I think it was definitely a gradual decline.
I think summer of 4'2" was season 8 or 9.
Maybe. I can't say. I just know that... People say the Armin Tamzarian episode was the one that really tipped it off. I would say, I mean, I could see the point of it, because, see, that's the problem. You can, like, rationalize anything. I was thinking about this, and people, you know, you could say, well, that episode was kind of, like, making fun of the idea that, like, you know how, like, nothing ever changes? Everything will always revert to the way they... So they pull something incredibly extraordinary, and they're just going to say, fuck it. Everyone's in on the joke.
It might have seemed like meta at the time.
Oh, it was.
But it hasn't aged well.
No. And then obviously, I think the first crappy episode I saw was when they redid the when they would look into the future episode the second time, where like Lisa became president.
Yeah,
and
that
was horrendous.
Yeah, but that's season 11 and 12, and that's way past. I don't think, besides Doctor Who, I don't know of many good shows that have made it past 10 years fresh. And for that matter, I don't know many bands that have made it past 10 years fresh. Have you ever heard of Monkeys Equals Monkeys?
Nope.
It's a game that Chuck Klosterman invented where he matches bands to TV shows based on a number of criteria,
mm-hmm.
just on a sort of basic level. And that bands kind of are like TV shows, and they operate in similar ways. He said that the Rolling Stones are Gunsmoke and the Strokes are 24. I've started a group of my own. I said that if the Strokes are 24, then Franz Ferdinand is lost.
Oh, I don't know. I'd say a certain gentleman from Belfast would disagree with you about that. But although, I mean, Franz Ferdinand had its place.
Franz Ferdinand has a lost kind of vibe to it, I just think.
How do you figure that?
Well,
explain.
If you look at the evolution of Franz Ferdinand albums, and you look at how just Lost as a TV show progressed, there's mm-hmm. a lot of parallels.
In that they didn't know what the fuck they were doing throughout the entire thing?
There was a lot of build-up, and then the third album just took things to a totally different direction. It was, like, dark and brooding and had weird electrical noises that went on for, like, 9 minutes. And
mm-hmm.
That was, like, during the time travel. They have a new album coming out.
No kidding.
Yeah, their fourth album, and Arctic Monkeys has an album coming out, and The Strokes has an album coming out.
Yeah,
it's tremendous.
It's kind of weird that Julian Casablancas of The Strokes has basically had... It's still weird. He's now going to be 33.
He doesn't look any different.
He doesn't look any different. He still has acne as a 33-year-old man.
Well, Mike,
and he looks unwashed, as usual. But not as bad as Pete Doherty, for some reason, who will not die. But and he looks, and he, that guy's,
you know,
always sweating.
The first Strokes album came out 10 years ago.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I actually, that was like one of the first albums I remember, like when it was new at that time, because I didn't really get into that until about 2002.
Yeah, there was that. As going back to what you're saying, there was that whole garage band revival. I remember that. There was the Strokes, there was the Hives,
The Libertines, the Vines, and the White Stripes.
Yes, and
Vines were like the headliner though. Rolling Stone tried to make the Vines the stars.
And they flamed out fast.
Yeah, they're still making albums.
I thought it was because the front man went insane.
Yeah, he does that from time to time, but they have a fifth album coming out. Fifth album coming out.
Wow.
They're surprisingly reliable, but their songs are like ridiculously short, except for one song, which is always 7 minutes long, and it's kind of lazy.
Yes. Interesting.
Their first album was good, and the rest are just kind of lazy.
Huh. So yeah, it was the garage, that pretty much gutted nu metal, and then the whole pop punk emo thing came about in the middle of the decade.
Well,
where
no,
basically,
pop punk and emo were pretty early on as well.
Are you sure about that?
Because I mean, it was around the same time.
Because the media fixated, I think, between
2003-2004
up to 2007.
If you're talking about Fallout Boy,
yeah.
Then yeah, but there were other things before that. If you look at maybe like Jimmy Eat World, which was definitely a better example.
Oh, Jimmy Eat World's fantastic. Are you kidding me?
Then that was really the beginning of that.
That's right.
As far as I can tell.
Because Bleed American came out in 2001.
And then garage rock revival led really quickly into new wave revival, and the first band that did that was Hot Hot Heat.
Are you sure not the Killers?
No, Hot Hot Heat is much older than the Killers.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. And there, which is weird, because I saw them play for free a few months ago, and a random Asian woman pinched my butt, and apparently some people know her in my ceramics class.
Okay, so it wasn't Margaret Cho, then.
We're getting off topic, like, way too much now.
But even then. But as you
but
were saying about the
that
music.
Was new wave revival, and that's been going on for a while. And at some point, like in the last year, we realized that some of that new wave revival stuff, like Vampire Weekend, wasn't really new wave revival. All of a sudden, it's pop revival, which fits in with Best Coast and the Vivian Girls and all that.
Interesting. Where's Mumford & Sons fit in all this?
I don't know. I haven't heard their music.
Oh, that's I was
but
enjoying their stuff.
But I should probably get into it.
I will say, I mean, but in my view, I mean, I thought the media really fixated on the whole pop punk emo thing, like I said, in the middle of the decade, where it was really fashionable to have really, really too long song titles. They were just way too
yes.
long. It was out of control.
Actually, Arctic Monkeys' first album, even though they're not really like that at all.
Yeah, they did that.
They did an album. They had one song on their first album that was called You Probably Couldn't See for the Lights, But You Were Looking Right at Me.
Jesus Christ.
And they had, that was their song on their first album.
Yeah,
can't see it on your iPod. It's only like
it cuts off.
You Probably Couldn't See for the Lights, But You Were Looking Right at Me. And it's a short song.
See, because the only song they played was I Bet You Look Good on the Dance Floor. That was the radio single. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
But they also had Fake Tales of San Francisco. It's a really good album.
They're
a really good band.
Yeah, no, they
I
had
think they really picked up. They are to, the Arctic Monkeys are to the Strokes, sort of as the Smiths are to the Clash, I think. One opened up sort of a movement, and one sort of took it to the next level.
Well, wait a minute. Didn't the Smiths come out after the Clash? Though?
Yeah, that's what
the
I'm saying.
Are you trying
Monkeys
to...
came out after the Strokes. I'm saying like the Clash sort of helped open up that whole sort of sound, and then the Smiths turned it into something much
okay,
more
Okay, yeah, you
ambitious.
Reversed it. Okay.
And then the Strokes did the same thing, and Arctic Monkeys took it to the next level.
That's interesting you say about the Arctic Monkeys, because I had felt that they had just flamed out in the middle of the decade. They were supposed
to
be this big thing.
I still hear a lot of their songs. You know, their second album did really well, and their third album, which is like their sad album, it's a little aggressive. It's a little hard to listen to at first, but it grows on you. And then they have this new album, and it's like a pop revival album. It's like, it's not like She and Him, but it's like a really hard rockin' version of She and Him. And it's like everybody's capitalizing it on. It's like how everybody wanted to do Mambo in the early 60s.
Huh.
And then it just disappeared.
Now, did you listen to any of that pop punk emo stuff at the time? Or?
No. I listened to Jimmy Eat World, and that was it. And I knew that shit sucked.
Wait a minute. How dare you say that with Jimmy Eat World?
Jimmy Eat World doesn't suck, but the other stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Patrick Stump can be on AV Undercover, I'd like to see what he can do on his own.
Dude dropped a lot of weight.
Yeah.
And it's funny that I think a lot of people, you know, it's kind of funny that for that band, for Fall Out Boy, that he was the singer, yet he wasn't the face of the damn band.
This Arctic Monkeys is the same way. Alex Turner is not the leader of the band in any way.
Huh.
The real leader of the band, and this is one of the advantages you get from seeing the band live, is Matt Helders, the drummer, who is like one of the greatest drummers alive.
The drummer is the leader of the band?
He's really the person, you can tell he's the leader.
Huh.
You can tell.
I never would have thought.
Yeah, but he's like crazy. He's really good.
Huh, interesting.
That's a band you go to see.
That's very, very interesting. Yeah, I can't speak for much for.
Well, they have a new tour.
Oh yeah, that's right. Actually, I do remember you posting about that. But like I said, I haven't listened to much music anyway. I mean, the last album I bought was the second White Lies album, and I thought that was all right. And then the last concert I saw, which was MGMT last year, which was great.
Yeah.
I think I may have gotten the contact high at that show, but it was really, really good. I'm of the mind, I mean, and I know you've just seen concerts for free.
I didn't see Arctic Monkeys for free.
Oh, okay then. But, you know, for me, and I've said it before, that I just don't have the stamina just to stand around doing jack shit for hours on end for a show to start. I mean, I love live music. And that was what was so cool about the Greek was that, and it's a great venue, it's out by the Griffith Observatory, is that it's in a residential area. So it's got to shut down by, I think, like 10 or 11 o'clock at night. So everyone's got to move, and they're going to do their set. And everyone's going to have a good time. And everyone's sitting down, and, you know, I know I'm Dr. Funkill in this respect, but it's like, if everyone's, like, moshing and shit, it's like, I can't watch the damn show. So I just...
Arctic Monkeys, there's a lot of moshing.
Are you fucking kidding me? That people? Oh, no, 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 no. Now I remember. I saw, I don't think you know about this band. It's a chiptune band, Onomatoguchi.
No.
And they did the music for the Scott Pilgrim video game. And people fucking moshed to a chiptune band. I was in this, like, it was behind a comic book store.
What is it, like 8-bit music?
Yeah. It's exactly, that's what it is.
Oh my god.
I'll have to play for
you. Gotta see. There's a guy you've gotta check out. He's a graphic artist and a cartoonist. His name is Dan Meth.
Oh yeah, Dan Meth, yeah.
Oh, he's great. I love that.
Oh yeah, I remember his classic 8-bit video games you forgot.
Mike Tyson's Brunch Out.
Yep. And then also he did like Saul Silver, Rockstar Accountant, and
No, Saul Silver is from Pineapple Express. This is Alan Kaufman.
That's it, Alan Kaufman, Rockstar Accountant.
Nasty Prism's good sir.
Yeah, you can't write that off.
Yeah.
Although,
terrific.
Oh, yeah, or 5-second films is also great.
Yeah.
Love those. But or did you ever heard of Waverly Flams?
No.
I don't know if you know the. Remember that video for TV on the Radio's Wolf Like Me? They did that. They do a lot of videos and a lot of great stuff. There's this one called Puppet Rapist, which is their magnum opus. And it's a 5-part video to YouTube series. Unbelievably great.
Huh.
That involves about, you know, people, puppets, and this one guy who is a puppet rapist. So you got to check that out. So unless I think, you know what, and we've had ourselves a really good run, unless you got anything else you want to talk about.
No,
I think
this has been great.
I think we can definitely wrap it up, and hopefully we'll, you know, we got to get you back on the show at some point, I think. And, perhaps, we'll see how things go with your career, and you still got the side thing of, you know, being Monty Park.
Terrific.
So, for the Ed Hawken Show, I'm Ed Hawken.
I'm Sam Huddy.
Keep it classy. Kids are
just like the good old days. The kids.